Galatians chapter number 22. Amen. If I was supposed to preach to you everything that I know and understand about Revelations, I'd just dismiss you now. Praise God. So in other words, don't expect anything revelatory here. Praise God. But I want to read tonight Revelations chapter 22. Verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise God. I'm going to preach to you tonight for just a little while when the Spirit and the bride come together. Amen. When the Spirit and the bride come together. God of heaven, we love you today. We need you here tonight. We need your power, your presence, and your Spirit to come into this place, sweet Holy Ghost. Minister and move amongst us. And let your word and your work, God, do the thing that needs to be done tonight. Draw us together. Help us, Lord. Enlighten us, O Lord Jesus. God, and we'll give you praise in the name of Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have really three different individuals or groups here today. First of all, we have the Spirit, and then we have the bride, and then we have the one that is going to hear. For it specifically says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's not the Spirit telling the bride to come, but it is the Spirit and the bride that say, come. And the one that they are speaking to, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise God. Now, we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. And God is omnipotent in that he possesses all power. And we know that Jesus said that all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Amen. And we also know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that he did it without material. He didn't have to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and pick him up some equipment and some material in order to make it happen. He didn't even have to go to the gardening section and get him some seeds to make it happen. He just simply spoke and things began to happen, began to take shape. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So there we have the Spirit. Praise God. The Spirit moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Praise God. Amen. Let me just expound upon that here for a little while tonight. Amen. What a mighty and an awesome God we serve. A God that is full of power, a God that has power in his voice, power in his words. The Bible said that where the voice, amen, where the word of a king is, there is power. And I'm so thankful that we're serving the King of Kings. And I have got great faith, amen, that no matter what the devil says, if God doesn't allow it, it ain't going to happen. I've got great faith, amen, that unless God gives permission, that it's not going to take place. Amen. That old serpent may huff and may puff and may try to blow the house down. Amen. But if God says that it's not going to be so, then it's not going to be so. Praise God. I don't care what the enemy comes in, amen, expecting and trying to exploit, trying to do, amen, that there we know that there is a God that has got the final say in all of it. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. And sometimes we feel like the enemy has come in like a flood. And sometimes we feel like the enemy is overwhelming us. And we feel like you just don't know how much more that you could possibly take or how much more that you can stand. You've been to that place that you say, amen, what else could go wrong? And something else did go wrong. But somehow or another, you're still here today. Somehow or another, you're still, amen. Man walking and putting one foot in front of the other foot. It's not by works. It's not by your good being. But it is that there is a God that is up in heaven that sees exactly where you are. Amen. He knows everything that you're going through. And the Bible says that he will never put anything upon you that you cannot bear. Amen. And that with every temptation that he will make a way of escape for you to go through that. Hallelujah. It was God that looked at Peter and said, Peter, the enemy desires to sift you as wheat. The enemy was doing his best to try to get Peter to falter and to fall. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. Amen. And when you are converted, you'll strengthen your brother. In other words, Peter, you got what it takes to come through this. Peter, you can't make it. You're going to come out on top if you want to come out on top. You don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to falter. You don't have to fall. I will walk with you. I will be with you even until the end of the earth. Praise God. Amen. And through this, we got a revelation. Amen. That in the moment and at the time of chaos, that all we really need is a move of God. Amen. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of it. There could be no more possibly chaotic scene than that. And that the earth was full of darkness. And that it was without form. And that it was void of any living thing, of everything. And that darkness was overcoming it. And darkness brings a fear. I believe that there was greater darkness upon the face of the earth at that moment in time. Amen. Or at least an equal darkness. Amen. That the children of Israel went through in the land of Goshen. Amen. That when Egypt was dark, the Bible said that there was a darkness that could be felt. Amen. There was a prevailing fear that was in that land. Amen. But Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You see, the devil is going to throw a lot of things at you. But you only have to have one thing, and that is God. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? It doesn't matter what comes against you. You got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You got a God that is as close as the mention of his name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. At a time when it seemed that nothing was possible. At a time where it didn't seem like the stars were going to line up, because there were no stars. Everything was in chaos. The Lord simply stepped to the edge of time and began to speak, and things began to take shape. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually. It does not matter what kind of chaos that the enemy has thrown at you. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about here tonight. Some of you were looking at a place where the finances had dried up. Some of you were looking, amen, at the bank accounts as it began to dwindle down and the savings was gone. And you uttered the words, I just don't know what I'm going to do. But God stepped in, because God has the last word. You heard the devil as he began to mimic. You heard the devil as he mimicked your faith, as he blamed God, as he faulted God, and as he said, where is your God? But in the moment of despair, God stepped in at the right time. God made a way where there was no way. God opened the door of blessing, and there came a blessing down from heaven, and God provided your every need. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. Amen. That's the God that we serve. There is a God that stands in the heavens that likes to show off in the time of desperate need. When the children were being surrounded or being flanked by the Egyptians, the children of Israel were being flanked, amen, and chased by the Egyptians. And there they stood at the Red Sea, and they didn't know what to do. And they began to think to themselves, maybe we should have just stayed in Egypt. Maybe we should have just stayed and dealt with the problems and the situations. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to take that step of faith. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to walk away. Amen. It wasn't necessarily comfort, but maybe it wasn't a good idea to walk away from the slavery of the enemy. At least we had onions and leeks. At least we had water. At least we weren't dying of starvation. Oh, but God stepped in. Amen. And God caused the waters to roll back. And you see that time and time and time again, when the darkness seemed to prevail and he threw Daniel into a lion's den, God showed up, and they threw the three Hebrew children into a fiery furnace. God showed up. Amen. And when the enemy was surrounding them by great force, God showed up and put angels round about them, and they walked through the enemy. Amen. Every time the enemy come in like a flood and called himself Goliath, God stepped in. I'm here to tell you, you need to remember that. You need to remember that. There is a God that is on your side, and your God is bigger than the gods that are out there in the world. Your God has more power in his voice, amen, than the gods that are out there in the world. You've got a God that loves you. You've got a God that cares. You've got a God that wants to save you. You've got a God that is interested in your well-being. It seems to be that that's where we are in this day and age, in this time. Chaos. Chaos. Amen. What would possess a man to make the statement that he wants to build America back better? How do you build an economy back better when it was the best economy that the world has ever known? How do you build it back? It's lies and corruption. And we see it at every junction in life. We see it at every seat in authority. We see it all over the place.
We see it where it seems to be that the wickedness of the world is overwhelming. And the voice of not just conservatism, but the voice of what is right begins to be pressed down further and further. And as I said the other night, it's not government by the people, for the people. Amen. It's government by a few, for everybody. It doesn't seem to matter. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't seem to matter what way you cast your vote. Amen. We voted this, and they said that we stole it. We voted this, and we say that they stole it. And there's collusion, and there's this, and there's that. And you come to the place now, you're thinking, does it really matter what I do? Does it really matter if I go vote anyway? They're going to do whatever they want to do. We just got to stick to our guns and keep doing what's right. Amen. But we also got to remember that the whole world is in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And with that, my times are in his hands. And these things must come to pass. But even though they're coming to pass, I've got a greater revelation that if I'm in the church, he's coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. And as he told Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. It's not anybody else's church. It's his church. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then you have the bride. You've got the church. Amen. The redeemed. The called out to come together. The chosen. The chosen. You need to remember, you're chosen. The Bible teaches us that he's called us by name. Amen. I understand that at some point in time he said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters. Whosoever will. But I believe that that whosoever will also includes a time that he came knocking at your door. Amen. And he said, if you'll open up unto me, I will come into you and I will sup with you and you with me. I believe that God handpicked you. I believe that God handpicked me. And just as he was walking on, don't think that you're here by mistake. I'm going to prove to you here in a little bit that you're not here by mistake. But I believe that just as God manifest in the flesh, began to walk by the seashore, and he took a look upon those boats, and he saw Peter standing there. He stopped and looked at a rugged fisherman who many just thought was a stinky old sweaty man. But Jesus looked at him and got his attention and said, hey, yeah, you right there, your name is Peter. Why don't you come follow after me? And Peter thought to himself, who, me? I don't have anything in my pockets. Amen, there's nothing that I have. What could you possibly want with me? And Jesus, thinking through time, said, I got a perfect place for you. And as he passed by Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the disciples, and he looked at them and began to call them. And here's Luke, a physician, and he interrupts him. And Matthew, a tax collector, and he says, come follow me. I believe that he's still in the business of handpicking people. As the Bible speaks that he's called every one of us by name. And he's called us to be a soldier. Hallelujah. And so we are the bride of Christ. We are the apple of his eye.
And just as the groom would pick out the bride and think to himself and begin to propose and say, you're the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with. You're the one that I want to marry. You're the one that I want to call my own. You're the one that I want to put my name upon. Amen. I believe that the same way with God, as he's looking down upon the discarded, as he's looking down upon the shunned, and he looks down and he sees that the devil has wrecked your life and thrown your life into chaos, but God stepped in. You who were dead in sins and in trespasses, amen, God came and called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. You didn't have anything to offer, but it didn't matter to God. You had a broken life. You had a messed up life. You was messed up, broken, discarded. He had no care, no hope, but God found you in that condition and said, I want to make something out of your life. I told you we're talking about some R&R. And so the relationship began to happen, and God began to court you. Amen. And there began to be a reciprocation of love as it began to transpire back and forth. And you fell in love with the master. Amen. And you bought into it. And you made commitments. You came to an altar. You just stepped down into the baptismal waters. And you took on his name in baptism. And today you're a part of the church. The bride. What a wonderful, wonderful term that he has used for this. And so the Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. And so you've got the Spirit, amen, as it is reaching out saying, come. And then you have the bride that is of the same mind, the same accord, on the same wavelength as the Spirit, the groom. And the groom, the Spirit is saying, come. And the bride is saying, come. Come. And the Spirit of the Lord is searching to and fro, and going into every venue and avenue. Amen. Even into the honky-tonks. And finding the one that's done with life. The one that is broken. The one that is walking out of the beer joint tonight with their head hung down and with tears beckoning at their eyes, thinking to themselves, what more is there to live for? Life is so dark, and all of this is nothing but chaos. And they hear a voice as the voice cries out unto them, come! And they hear another voice of a different nature as it cries out, sitting on the street somewhere, beckoning unto them, come! And they hear and they say, I will come. The Spirit and the bride on the same wavelength, on the same channel, understanding. It's not the bride usurping some type of authority, trying to do something without the Spirit's knowledge, without the Spirit's authority, but it is the Spirit of God as it is enticing. And it's the bride hearing the heartbeat of the groom, hearing the heartbeat of the Spirit. And as he hears the Spirit cry, come, amen, it is also the heartbeat of the bride to cry, come. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Come unto repentance. And God beckons them to come unto repentance. Amen. And the bride, recognizing the call of the Spirit, begins to beckon the world to come. Come! Come! Come, we say. And there are those that hear, and there are those that hearken, and there will be those that come. Praise God. Do you understand? Now let me explain how important this is. Let me explain. Amen. That you play a part. It's not playing a part. This is so important. You have a very intricate and important part in this. The bride, amen, the Spirit cannot just say come. The church needs to be in tune and in same beat as the Spirit is. And so there are things, first of all, there are things that happen within the local church body that we hear the Spirit of God say, do. And the bride has got to be in the same vein and be obedient. Because we don't understand everything that's going on in the spiritual world. And so there are times that the Spirit would beckon us. For instance, as you hear the voice of the Spirit, as the Spirit would say, pray. And the bride has got to fall and humble and pray. The bride doesn't bow up her back and say, why? But you see, there is a love relationship that is there. That when the groom, when the Spirit says, pray, the bride just is obedient. And the bride doesn't have to have answers for everything. But the bride begins to pray. And as the bride begins to pray, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. As the bride begins to pray, the Spirit begins to move. And just like in Ezekiel, when the door opened up and the Spirit began, the water began to move across the threshold. And it was because that there is a church that is praying, and the water continues to get deeper and deeper. But there is that unity that is in the Spirit as things begin to happen. I submit to you tonight that it's important that when God moves upon us to worship, that we are obedient and sensitive to that, and we begin to worship. I'm going to show you this here in just a few minutes. I'm going to go into the Bible. I'm going to show you this. But you must understand that there is an all-seeing eye of God that is looking down into the intricacies of how this whole thing works. And God knows how to get our attention and how to fix things. And He chooses to use us. And so God sees that there is an individual in the church that is fighting some things. Amen. That is bound up, that is locked up by condemnation. That the devil has just been working you over back and forth and up and down. And you feel like you've drugged yourself into the house of God. And the Spirit of God begins to move just as it did in Genesis 1 and 2. Amen. And God begins to speak. And God moves upon this one and says, I want you to just lift your voice up and begin to praise me. And you begin to do that. That's the Spirit and the bride. Amen. Sinking up. And the Spirit of God gets over here and begins to move upon this one. Amen. And you feel that unction and you begin to respond to it and you begin to wave your hands. Amen. And the Spirit and the bride are getting in sync one with another. And God is moving on this one and God is moving on that one. And all of a sudden, everybody's in sync with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that one that's been fighting fighting it, all the sudden feels that break in the spirit that's coming, and they begin to weep and begin to cry, or they step out of their addiction, or they step out of their dilemma, and they begin to worship God. God may move upon one and say, run, and move upon another and say, run, and move upon a third and say, run. Amen. And it's not that you need to do it. It's that there's something else that God is calling unto. And God says, move, move, move. And the bride responds and the bride moves. And that one, amen, that didn't feel worth, like, didn't feel like anything, amen, sees stuff begin to happen. And they step out and they begin to run. It's not because they felt like it. And if God would have moved upon them and told them to run to begin with, they probably would have ignored it. They probably would have stepped aside. But that's the strength of the body. That's the strength of the church. Amen. That God begins to speak, and God says, move, and the bride says, I'll move, amen. And God says, worship, and the church says, worship, amen. And as everybody begins to worship, strongholds begin to shake and begin to come down, barriers begin to fall, because that the Spirit and the bride are in one accord with one another. You need more proof? Let's go to the Bible. And I'm going to close here in a few after with this story. Acts chapter number 8. We see an evangelist by the name of Philip. And Philip is preaching to a group of Samaritans. He's preaching to them and they have not received the Holy Ghost. Great joy has come and they're exuberant by what they're feeling, but yet the Holy Ghost had fell upon none of them. And so Philip calls for Peter and for the rest of the apostles to come. Come. And here comes Peter and the rest of the apostles. And when they get there, they see a group of people that are excited, but nobody's received the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord speaks, the Spirit says, preach. And they preached. And the Spirit said, lay hands on them. And they laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a wonderful story. But that's not the story I'm talking about. That's where it starts. Woo. I told you you didn't get here by accident. Because then the Spirit spoke unto Philip and said, go. Why? Now, first of all, Philip didn't say why. But let me tell you what was happening. The Spirit of Almighty God was riding in a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was saying, come, come. And here's this Ethiopian eunuch reading in Isaiah. And he's saying, I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I feel a calling. I feel an unction, but I don't understand. I hear something say, come. but I don't know what I'm to do. And the Spirit of God comes over here to Philip and says, go. And Philip just leaves what he's doing. And he begins to make his way out into the desert, and he overtakes a chariot. And here he is running beside a chariot saying, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And this Ethiopian eunuch here in the spirit say, come, saying, how can I? Except that some man would tell me what to do or explain this to me. Philip said, let me do that. And Philip jumped up in the chariot. And now the bride is there. And the spirit is saying, come. And the bride is saying, come. Amen. Because this eunuch isn't going to get any further in his experience unless the bride shows up. All that's going to happen is when this man gets home, and if I remember correctly, it's over 1,000 miles that he has traveled for religion. Some of you think that you drove 30 miles to church, and that man, that is a major, major sacrifice. This man has driven over 1,000 miles. I know it's over 1,000. So driven 1,000 miles. Seeking for religion, and he hasn't found it. Why is he seeking for it? He hears something saying, come. Come. Where? Where? Come. Jerusalem, I must go. And so he's traveling 1,000 miles, seeking. Can't find it anywhere. I got to go back home. And he's heading back home. And except that the bride would have shown up, that eunuch would have got back home. And he has said, I have no idea what happened. I don't understand it. I know I heard something. I know something was calling me. But I have no idea what it was. I haven't gained anything. I'm exactly where I was when it all started. I'm still lost. I still don't understand. But the Spirit said, come. And the bride, amen, obeyed the Spirit and went and attached itself to the chariot and began to explain something. Oh, it just gets better. It gets better. It gets better. Amen. Why? Because you got to understand. You got to understand. You play a part in this. And when God says, go, you got to go then. When God says, run, you got to run then. When God says, shout, you got to shout then. Amen. Why? Because there's a body of water that I've already got in place. And I need you there before we get there. And so God spoke to Philip and said, now, go. Philip took off. Where are you going, Philip? Not quite sure. But all I know is that God said, go. And it looks rather strange. Philip, you're leaving a red hot church service. I don't understand it either, but God said, go. I got to go. And there he is going. Where are you going? I don't know. Some of you feel foolish in worship. You're like, I just feel to do this. But I mean, I don't think I will. And somebody misses something because the bride didn't respond properly. Don't ever question God. You say, well, I mean, I don't know if it's God. I mean, I feel like running, but I mean, I don't want to be in the flesh. Honey, you ain't going to do it any other way. I hope your spirit ain't running around here. But let me tell you something else. I promise you it's not the devil. I'm telling you, the devil ain't going to slap you on the back and say, whoa, you feel great, run. That ain't going to happen. And so when you feel that little push and God says, go. You just go. You feel God begin to move and You feel like worshiping God, feel like dancing, feel like jumping a little bit. That's when you've got to do it. Because there's something going on at that moment that God knows about that He's working on. And so God tells Philip, go. And so Philip runs. God says, there it is, get it. Hey, you understand what you're reading? Mm-mm, I can't. There ain't no way I can understand this. He didn't even have revelations. And there he was, and Philip said, let me teach you a little bit. And so Philip jumped up there on the chariot and began to teach him a Bible study. And Philip spoke to him and began to preach unto him Jesus. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said that he preached unto him Jesus. Yeah. And as they were on their way, lo and behold, by accident, it just so happens that there's a body of water. Here's God standing up here a lot higher than we are. And God sees. All right, there he is. There he is. Philip meets him and stuff. Right here. Put some water in that tank. By the time he gets understanding and comes here, be exactly where it needs to be. Uh-huh. There it is. And so, sure enough, here they are riding in the chariot. And they come down and all of a sudden you say, whoa, wait a second. Just so happens that here's some water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, nothing. If you truly believe, if you believe with all of your heart, then you can be baptized. He said, I believe. And Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And when they came up out of the water, here's an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, I know I may be adding a little bit to the story, but we don't know. But it is of my opinion that this Ethiopian eunuch more than likely has got the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Philip's job was done. If he didn't have the Holy Ghost, Philip had more work to do. I don't know. All right, but that's just my assumption. Take it for what it's worth. Put that in $5, you can get you something to drink at Starbucks. It won't be very big, but you can get it. And so the Ethiopian eunuch comes up out of the water and he's magnifying God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And thank you. Where did he go? And God says, that's enough. And poof, Philip disappears. And the next time we found Philip is exactly where God wants him, doing what God would have him to do. That is the importance of the Spirit and the bride being together in unity. How can it be that somebody that's been married for a lengthy period of time, their spouse can start the sentence and the other one can finish it? What are you doing? I knew that's what you were going to say. Well, how did you know what I was going to say? Because I live with you 24/7. That's how I knew. You see, there's got to be a relationship. There's got to be a unity between the Spirit and the bride. That when the Spirit begins to speak, that the bride understands and knows exactly what the Spirit wants. Amen. The Bible even teaches us, amen, that we are directed even by the eyes of God. Amen. That God just looks at us and God does this. And you know exactly what to do. Now, I didn't tell you a thing, but what did I tell you to do?
He understands. Yeah.
You're not going to be able to be directed by the eyes of God when your eyes are upon the things of the world.
Oh, Jesus, help us. Because I could preach a really, really long time right here. And I'd have to preach to myself a little bit too. Probably a whole lot. But it used to be two lovers sitting across the table from each other, eyeballing each other. Making each other smile, saying sweet little things. Today they don't look at each other. They got their phone. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. I got to move. God's not saying stay. So I got to move. But what I am saying is that when we are in love with God like we need to be in love with Him, we're going to be in constant eye-to-eye connection. And the song says, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And then He said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. You see, too often our problems have got our attention. Our eyes are upon the dilemmas of the world. Our eyes are upon the problems of life. Our eyes are upon the entertainments. Amen. The fun things, the joys of life, the frivolous things of life. And we don't hear the voice of God. The bride's attention is upon something else. That's why the bride cannot become self-centered. If we become self-centered, we will die. We've got to hear the voice of the Spirit. That's why I said, you're not here by accident. You didn't come initially by accident. God had a place, a time, an appointment set with your name on it. And God moved upon a preacher. And He said, I have somewhat to say to the church today. And the preacher said, say on. And the preacher got up and he began to open his Bible and began to speak the words of God. And God said, and the church responds in unison with the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God and the bride come in to sync one with another, things begin to happen. And miracles begin to transpire. Let's stand here tonight. I don't want you to ever think that anything that God would move upon your heart. I do believe that everything needs to be done decently and in order. So don't be creating chaos in the church, because then the Spirit will have to speak to you and straighten you out. I very seriously doubt the Spirit of God is going to tell you to go slap your brother
But in some cases, he may need it. No, you understand what I'm saying. The will of God is not going to contradict the Word of God. So don't come tell me, well, the Spirit of God moved upon me and told me that I needed to miss church tonight because there was something that was going to happen. And I don't know exactly what it was, but I do know God said to miss church. No, God didn't tell you to miss church. That goes against His Word. All right? The Word of God will never, the will of God will never contradict the Word of God. But God does need a bride. For the Spirit would say, come. And the bride would say, come. And he that hath an ear and hears it says, come. And he that is athirst will come drink of the water. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You play a part in God's magnificent kingdom. And you may feel so insignificant. You may feel so unworthy. But can I just say that it doesn't get really, honestly, it doesn't get much worse, if any worse, than Peter? Think about that. It does not get much worse than what Peter did. Ah, you're one of them. Nope. I don't know them. You're one of those Pentecostals. Not me. Ain't a chance in your life. That's what Peter did. Peter said, I don't know him. Oh, yeah, I saw you. And Peter begins to curse. Jesus went back looking for Peter and said, come. And we see Peter standing on the day of Pentecost saying, come. And we see 3,000 hearing saying, I'll come. And there's got to be that relationship that is there. And so I applaud everyone that when the Spirit begins to say, pray, you fall down and find yourself a place to pray and seek God, because God is saying, I've got something going on right now and I need somebody. Would you pray? And you say, I'll pray. To think that God would count you worthy enough. Who, me? I'm nobody. I'm so insignificant. I'm so small. I'm so unworthy. I'm nobody. I don't deserve anything. But God comes to you and said, I want you. And the Spirit of God begins to move in the service. And God begins to move upon you and unction comes. You begin to pray exuberantly, or you begin to worship. You begin to step out. You begin to do. And it's because that God sees something going on. And sometimes it may not even be in this place. It could be something in the spiritual world that's on the outside. And God's saying, all right, bride, come. And we all play the part. We all do our part. Oh, and it's not going to be long before somebody's going to step in that door. And they're going to say, I don't know why I'm here.
I didn't even know this church existed. I don't know how I came across this place. I'm going to tell you how you did. You heard something say, come. Come. But God needs a church as well. Come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight that God is bringing revelation, because God has already been moving upon you to do something. And you've been holding back. God's been telling you, it's time to speak, it's time to speak. And you've been holding back. You don't know what's going on the other side of the wall. There's an Ethiopian eunuch that's in his Bible and he's reading. And he doesn't understand what he's reading. And you're in the place. You're in the place, and God is saying, it's time. It's time. Because there's water just up the road. I've already got it all set together. It's time. Oh, I could go on and on and on and on. Cornelius, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just praying. Cornelius, you don't even have the promise of an answer. I don't understand. I just feel a call. I just feel an unction. I feel like this is what I need to do. I don't understand. It's the Spirit saying, come. But here's God over here at Peter's house saying, Peter, slay and eat. Not I. No, I'm not doing that, God. That's unclean. Don't call what I have cleansed unclean. Slay and eat. Three times before Peter says, all right, I'll do it. Said, all right, get up. Go. And here's the Spirit of God at Cornelius' house saying, come. And here's Peter showing up and preaching saying, come. And here's Cornelius at an altar with his hands raised saying, I'll come. And God fills all that are in the house with the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit and the bride got together and said, come. Hallelujah. When the Spirit and the bride come together, that's where we need to be. Are you there tonight? Are you there tonight? Why don't you find yourself a place to pray even now and say, okay, God, I understand. You've been dealing with me. You've been beckoning unto me. You've been telling me to come. And God, I've been resisting. I've been resisting. I don't know who it is, but you do. I don't know if it's the waiter, the waitress. I don't know if it's a co-worker. I don't know if it's a family member. I don't know who it is, but you do. God's been saying, come. And God's been moving upon you to say, come. It's time. It's time. Oh, it's time. Because I believe that God's got a revival. God's got a revival for New Life Tabernacle. And that revival can be so powerful if we have people come. But the church and the Spirit of God have got to be on the same page. And God is going into the highways, into the byways as His Spirit. And He's pricking their heart. And He's waking them up in the wee hours of the moment. And they don't understand what's going on in their life. They just feel something different. They just feel something different. And on the same time, God's moving on you at your dinner table, saying it's time to tell them to come. It's time. It's time. It's time. And so now you show up in their life. at their door, at their desk, at their table. And they've got a smile upon their face. And they're portraying to be a happy individual, a happy family. There's things that's going on behind closed doors. And they feel that tugging and that unction. And they hear the voice of God. They don't understand it. But they hear something I need to do. And God's moving upon you, and you show up. And you say, come. And understanding comes to them, and they said, this is what I need to do. And here they come. The church is ready. And the Spirit of God is ready. Because we are in unison together. The Spirit and the Bride come together. Beyond.